Live from the heart of Los Angeles, this is the at-home edition of the Life Changes Show.
Look at the bright lights. Look at the bright lights. We'll
it's
be swimming nice when we die.
And author of Untamable, Dr.
Look
Dallas Stars Studio.
Night sky. Look at the night sky where the stars
and
have always shine.
Our host, the MC, the Master of Change, to say I'm excited about today's show is an understatement. When I got information that I shared with our producers, Dorothy and Mark, about our guest tonight, I was so excited. Of course, they came back and said, yes, yes, absolutely. She's amazing. She's amazing. And so I responded to our the publicist that connected with us and said, she's amazing. And the publicist, yes, said, yes, she's simply amazing. And and so I say this because when I then got to connect with our guest and speak with her, she was even more amazing. And the most amazing part to me was that underneath her message, like the drone sound that just goes everywhere throughout her whole message, wasn't look how amazing I am or look at what I've done. What I felt was look how amazing we are. And look at what we can do. And I thought, wow, that's amazing. I walked away from our conversation feeling good, better about myself and about our world because of the conversation. And the more I learned about her, when I saw this video that somebody had taken at an event of hers, or at an event where she was one of the speakers, I listened to her speech, and then I listened to her speech again, and I thought, wow, if we could take out, not take out, but substitute, she was talking about Lebanon and talking about the people in the room, and I thought, if we could substitute the words Lebanon for our world, and instead of the people in the room, all of us who are gathered to bring as much good to this moment and to our lives and people's lives and our world, then what a message that would be. As a matter of fact, it would sound something like this. We seem to be excellent, she said, at highlighting our world's weaknesses. We seem to exaggerate everything that's not going right. And we forget to celebrate people like you. We make the corrupt famous because we talk about them all the time. Instead of celebrating you, instead of talking about all the contributions that we have made, we make the corrupt famous. We should be ignoring them, and we should make those that contribute to our world famous. I couldn't agree more. And so with that, I can't wait to come back and have our conversation tonight with our guest, Dr. Nala Kadaj Budiab, and to bring on our musical guest who has an interesting story and music of her own for tonight's show, Nadine, all on the Life Changes Show at Home Edition right after this.
Have you felt inspired to meditate but you just can't? Do you suffer from anxiety but fidget toys just make you more fidgety? Want to replace negative self-talk in your head that keeps bringing you down? Introducing the latest self-help solution, Phi Beads. Transformational beaded jewelry inspired by ancient wisdom, science, math, and psychology. All five beads are designed to incorporate the powerful Fibonacci sequence, nature's mathematical formula that has shaped our existence from the beginning of time. The Fibonacci sequence, also known as the golden mean or the golden ratio, is recognized by our conscious and unconscious mind and resonates as order out of chaos, like you see in plants, flowers, seashells, ocean waves, the pyramids, and in our own body. Not only beautiful, they feel good to wear. Phi beads can help anchor tranquility, positivity, focus, and structure in your life by doing the Phi meditation. Phi meditation helps you harness the power of I am for intention, affirmation, and manifestation. Affirm the life you want. Get your set of Phi beads at phibeads.com. That's Phi, P-H-I, beads.com. You are listening to the Life Changes Show, live from Vortex Dome LA on the BBS Radio Network with your host, the Master of Change, Filippo Voltaggio. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows on our archive page at lifechangesshow.com, which include luminaries such as comedian Michael Collier, actress Gabriella Wright, performing artist James Hood, and author Ken Honda. Email your comments and questions to info@lifechangesnetwork.com or askdorothy@lifechangesshow.com. You can also comment via Twitter at Life Changes Show and Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
We are back. I am Filippo Voltaggio, host, and I am with our co-host and producer, Mark LeJour.
I think tonight's show is one of the more important topics, and every topic's been important, and that's the joy of Life Changes Show. But there's so much that we can learn from Dr. Nala's work and her pioneering efforts and her strength and presence, and I'm really excited for tonight's show.
Indeed. Well, inspired by her, we have titled this episode, Overcoming Obstacles and Adversity to Emerge Successful and Stronger, with guest first woman COO of banking in Lebanon, head of Women Empowerment for the World, Union of Arab Bankers, speaker and author of Untamable, Dr. Nala Kadaj Boudiab. Welcome to the Life Changes Show.
Thank you. Really honored to be here. Thank you so much for having me.
It's such a pleasure. And I knew we weren't going to talk about specifically what you said in that speech, but I thought, let's just throw that in because there's so much you share. Even in that, there's so much wisdom.
Well, that speech was actually just came straight from the heart. Because wow. I live in a country where there's a lot of adversity. I've been lucky that I grew up in Canada, so I experienced both sides of the world. And it was just very sad that we have so much to be happy about. We have so much to create. And yet we're bogged down with these negative thoughts that just spread fear all around us and that end up crippling us. So it was really a cry from my heart.
Well, and you have experienced so much bogged downness, so much crippling. I have to say, sadly and happily, because you've come through the other side of it, but mainly because you were born a woman in a country where women were not seen as equal to men, correct?
Well, for my specific circumstances as well, I'm not sure if the whole country feels what I felt, but I grew up in a home where my father did not perceive women as being equal. And this did not come out of bad will from him. This is just the social background he grew up in. So that gave me some opportunities to experience life at its peakest.
Wow. In order where some people might have gotten lost in that and not known what to do, you knew you did something. And what was it that you did?
I think, Filippo, everybody will know what to do. And this is really a very important foundation in how I feel and the work I do. We must recognize, for me at least, that we are all powerful. We are all magical. There isn't someone strong and someone weak. Mm. we all have the same human functionalities. We are all magnificent. What differentiates us is how, what we do with this. How connected are we to our intuition? How easy is it for us to actually make decisions in life? And that's the difference. And that ability stems from three things that are core to our existence. The first one is our background, our history, the social biases that we end up conforming to and what that does to our mind and how we think. The second one is our perspective. How do we see things? So there's a huge difference in how you look at things because that dictates how you're going to behave. And the third one, I can call it our lifestyle. Do we have a healthy lifestyle that nourishes both dimensions of our existence, meaning the physical and the non-physical, because we need our thoughts and our emotions to decide how to behave. And if we're neglecting them, we're going to have some issues. So those are the differences in humans, actually. But we are not different in the way we are designed, in the power we have, in the functionality we have.
Wow. That's an amazing message. And what is also wonderful in what I'm hearing is from all that you went through to become all that you are, and we literally could spend an hour just listing the titles and awards and organizations you are heading or involved in, that is not the end of your story. On the contrary, it feels like how you're sharing it, it's just the beginning.
Absolutely. It is the beginning. Because there is this phase in my life where I was going through these events. I was discovering what are the possibilities, what can I do? And then I realized that I succeeded. And with that realization came something really powerful. I did not succeed because I was special. We are all special. I succeeded because I used the human functionalities that I have. And when I reached this stage, I did my doctorate degree, and I was able to validate this information, this knowledge that I thought I discovered, which is not true. I did not discover it. That knowledge is out there. And I realized that this is a function that resides in all human beings. So imagine, Filippo, how can I know this and not do anything? My life would be useless.
Well, one of the things you've done is you've put out your very first book. It's called Untamable: Claim Your Power, Live Fearlessly, and Become Unstoppable. Now, it's interesting that the word untamable, I actually wrote it in two different, I was writing notes and all that. I wrote it in two different things today. Two of them thought that it wasn't a word and they were trying to correct it. And I thought, how interesting how you are bringing forward something that some people don't even think is a word. You chose that word for a very specific reason. Why?
It reflected my exact emotion. We were not born on earth to be tamed. We were born on earth to unleash our love, to connect with each other, to learn, to love, and to create this amazing cycle of evolution. And that cannot be achievable if you are tamed. And this is what we do today in the way we live life. We tame our kids because we are so terrified that they might do something that would hurt them. So we suppress them, we put rules, we put boundaries. We go into organizations, we do the same thing. We have very strict policies, what time you need to come in, what time you need to leave, what are you allowed to do during work. We get married, and then we're suppressed by the hidden messages of society. Conform, conform, conform. Well, that's not how your light is going to shine. And I want to focus on something here because I don't want people to misunderstand this. I am not saying that people should be rebellious I'm saying that it is our efforts in taming people that makes them rebellious.
Mm.
We're so terrified of what people are going to do. We don't take the chance in just sitting back and loving them and allowing them to flourish and to love back. This notion seems to be terrifying for society. So we want to tame everything. And the word untamable was just me saying, even though all the events that I've been through and all the hardship I've experienced was intense, nothing could have tamed me. And that should apply to all of us on Earth.
I have a copy of the book, and I'm looking forward to reading it cover to cover. But for the sake of the interview, since I just got it, I did peruse it. And when you say you have had the privilege of a rich life, when she says that, she's talking about some intense events. And in part one of the book, in like the first part of the book, you describe these intensive events, and then you go on to say, I have a privilege of a rich life. So could you share just a little bit of what you talk about in part one, and then how could you come to that conclusion?
Well, there's a uniqueness about how I wrote the book. The first part of the book is a story. It's a very interesting story that has a lot of intense events. Experienced so many different things, from from war to discrimination to having a father who is very loving and who I love dearly, but he had a different perspective on what women should and should not do, to being deprived from going to university, to having dreams shut down every step of the way. The events are really interesting. And then the second part of the story was an illustration of how my decisions were made that changed everything. And so I used the first half of the book, the events, as examples to illustrate the concepts I'm inviting people to try. And through this journey, I get the reader to actually see what could have happened had I made different choices. And my objective here is to inform the reader. The knowledge is out there. We're so lucky to be alive in this era, Filippo. We're so lucky. There's so much knowledge out there that can be available to all of us that would help us learn how to calm our thoughts, how to unleash thinking, how to reach our potential. And that information is there. But if your thoughts are always busy, if you're always surviving, if you're always running the same marathon in circles without a break, you're not going to be able to tap into this knowledge and this information. So the events that I write about are rich because they provided tremendous learning. And if I hadn't gone through them, I would not be sitting here talking to you. They are my core. They provided the learnings of my journey.
You know, I went through so many pictures where I saw you in front of this group and shaking hands with these people, receiving this award, and there was a confidence, more than confidence, like an understanding of somehow who you are in this moment. And what I feel like you're saying here is that you would not have that unless you went through it and figured it out almost for yourself.
Yeah, if you don't go through events, and more importantly, if you don't learn from your events, because the danger is going through the events, feeling the suffering, feeling the pain, and ending up learning anything, ending up with just negative emotions. And that's what I'm trying to help people avoid. But if you go through intense events and your state of mind is always learning and trying to connect to the higher perspective so that you can figure out what to do, then you're gonna end up learning quite a lot. And that's gonna provide richness to what you can offer to the rest of the world. Because for me, we're not here to just get up in the morning, go to work, make some money, spend them on just enjoying the physicalities of life, and neglecting a dimension that is that can yield total pleasure and happiness. And I want people to be able to feel that, because I felt it and I know what it's like. I also know that I was terrified going through some of the events. And had I not known that there is a higher perspective, then that experience would have been quite ugly. And I want to avoid this for people.
I get an excitement inside when I'm thinking who I'm talking to, because in the sense that if I were speaking potentially to a motivational speaker, which you obviously are, but or one who is in the coaching industry, which you are as well. However, I am speaking to a woman who right now, a person right now, who is in the business world in a very big way. First woman, COO of banking in Lebanon, head of women empowerment for the World Union of Arab Bankers. And so somebody can't say to you, well, you don't know, I have to get up and I 9 to 5, and you know it all.
Yes. One of the most important things that I've had the privilege of doing is to bring these concepts into my organization. And it's very interesting, Filippo, when you look at the way you manage an organization, the more you try to control people within the organization, that is a direct reflection of how terrified you are in trusting. Mm. So anytime you see people controlling more, trying to suppress, trying to suffocate others, what they're telling you is, I am so scared that if I let you go, I won't be able to control things. And this is a really important dynamic for managers and senior executives to understand. So you need to trust yourself. You need to trust that people are good. People are good. People rebel and do negative things when they are really suppressed. And of course, I'm generalizing here. Somebody's going to probably come up and say, well, no, there are some bad people in the world. I'm talking about a general state where we start off saying people are good. People are magical. People are able to love. They are able to care for each other. And let's start from there. Let's try to not suppress these people. And then, you know what? If somebody does something that is bad or that can harm others, or somebody tries to go in that area, then you can deal with that because you have the power. I mean, as a COO, I have the power to take action. Why am I terrified to let people go? I have the power. I can let people go, and I can do it in a very professional way. That means I'm not compromising on discipline. But there's a difference between me imposing discipline and between having people feel the discipline because it comes out of their love for the organization. There's one component here that we can really focus on. It's called love. You focus on that, and you're going to create successful organizations, you're going to create great teams, and you're going to achieve, and you're going to be happy. But focus on that word.
So I want to make sure that we clarify something, that when you say let people go, what you mean is you're not talking about firing them. You're actually talking about letting them go into their imagination and creativity and that kind of energy, right?
Totally. I'm talking about unleashing their creative mind. So I'd like to share a very small story with you that happened recently. So banks are typically, they have very rigid structures. And a lot of discipline in banks. And I decided to do an experiment on one of our largest branches. And Lebanon has gone through a really difficult time in the last 2 years. We have a revolution. There's a lot of attacks on the banking industry. So all the stress you can think of Filippo, has been thrown at banks. And what are banks? They are people. Bank employees have suffered. And I made a decision to talk to the biggest branch we have. And I said, you know what? I want you to come into work because you're feeling love for this institution, love for us, for all of us. And I hate the fact that every morning when you come in, you have to sign in, you have to punch in. I don't like this act. What do you think if we remove all these rules? What do you think if you come into work on time, maybe earlier, but you come in because you want to be here, because you love to be here? I'm willing to remove the policy of punching in. Are you willing to meet me halfway and to come in driven by your love? And we did it. And for 3 months, we monitored this group of people, and they were in earlier than they have ever been in at the office. And so it works. I needed to be sure I was not afraid of them taking advantage of the opportunity. But there's nothing to be afraid of, because anything that goes off plan, you can rectify it. You're a senior executive. Release the fears and bring people together.
And I have to believe also that this has a lot to do with your energy, their respect for you, and also wanting for you to trust, to know that you could trust them, kind of thing, correct?
Totally. It's a collective thing. It starts with the people that own the bank, their values, because they have to allow this to happen. They have to trust. Drills down on me, on the whole organization. It's a collective process. Because Felipe, I don't think it was intended for us to exist as individuals. We must exist as a collective. This is how we will achieve this heaven that we're aiming for.
Again, the fact that this is coming from someone who is in not just business but big business, and a woman who has been through so much. This book, I can't say enough. And let me just say this for now. We'll come back and talk more with Dr. Nala. But in the meantime, her website, if you want to learn more about her, the information about her book is there as well. You can get the book there. There's a link to Amazon to buy the book. The website is Nala Budiab, and I'll spell that, NahlaBudiab.com. Of course, it's on our website at lifechangesshow.com. There you'll also find her Facebook link, Twitter, Instagram, LinkedIn, etc., and a wonderful video where she talked, and where you could find more videos, actually, where she talks about why gender diversity and beyond that, truly. So the book Untamable, and we'll be talking more about that and more with our guest, Dr. Nala Kadaj Budiab, when we come back. A little later on, we're going to have our Ask Dorothy question, and then later in the program, our live musical guest, Nadine, all on the Life Changes Show at Home Edition right after this.
The Little Dog That Could is the fantastically true story of a man and a little dog that came into his life as his mentor to help him understand the world beyond his human senses and to experience life, love, and healing beyond his human understanding. Best-selling author Filippo Voltaggio, who currently hosts the highly regarded Life Changes show, is an internationally known singer, speaker, and life coach. Filippo offers up his own story, how one little surprise package in fur and four legs transformed his life unexpectedly forever and furthered his path of self-discovery. In The Little Dog That Could, Filippo brings to life the meaning of the adage, when the student is ready, the teacher appears. Through the reading of this book, you will experience the journey of real miracles that transcend time, space, and logic while gaining practical tools that will help you navigate your way. The Little Dog That Could is available through Amazon and Barnes & Noble. For more information, visit thelittledogthatcould.com. That's thelittledogthatcould.com.
You are listening to the Life Changes Show, live from Vortex Dome LA, with your host, Filippo Boltaggio. You can visit us online at lifechangesshow.com, via Twitter at Life Changes Show, and Facebook at Life Changes Show.
Back, I'm Filippo Boltaggio. This is the Life Changes Show at Home Edition, and we're glad about that for the first time in a long time, because had it not been that we were online, we wouldn't have this beautiful guest on the show who at the moment is in Lebanon, and not Lebanon, the United States, Lebanon, the country. What part of Lebanon, actually, Dr. Nala?
I'm in Beirut.
Ah, okay. And there it is, what time is it in the morning?
It's actually, the show started at 5 a.m.
At 5 a.m. And already she had started the day with a meditation. Is that correct?
This is how I start my day, yes. I calm my thoughts. So I think when you say meditation, a lot of people kind of, we label everything, right? So it's just an activity where I have time to calm my thoughts, because they're precious to me and I take care of them very early in the morning.
There is so much more, so many more places that I would love to go with this conversation, because it touches on so many things. I remember hearing, I won't say the name, but some woman saying at one point how women leaders were more like men, and what we needed was more women leading like women. And this is what I'm sensing here. Or how would you describe what is happening in the way you lead?
I actually totally agree with that. And I think what happens is women have been subjected to so much pressure to take their place in organizations. They started behaving as if emotions were weaknesses. Love is a taboo word. This is why I use it all the time. And in order to compete with men, a lot of women started managing and leading like men, because it was a competition. And I think they are doing the world a major setback by doing this, because what women have to offer is magical. I think both men and women need to be in the organization. So I'm a very strong believer in diversity, but I think the power of a woman that no one can compete with is the love that she can bring out, and the way she can manage emotions within the organization. Mm. And that is really powerful. It's a shame for a woman not to use it. I'm not at all stating that men can't do this. I'm just saying that women are a natural at this.
What do you mean by magical?
I wish there was a way I can get whoever's listening to us to actually experience it. I have to describe situations for you so that you can, because I really want people to get a sense of the feeling. I go back to stating it's all about unleashing love. So imagine you're working in an organization and you're competing. And the global environment is difficult. There's pressure. You have to change. Banking is changing. Technology is changing. And you have employees sitting there subjected to all this pressure. So there's two ways of managing these employees. One way is to put pressure on them, to scare them, to tell them that they need to evolve, they need to do this, they need to learn that, because they won't have jobs if they don't. Or to sit with them and to tell them how wonderful it is for us to be going through this together. And to remind them how powerful and precious they are, because they have amazing skills. And we need to now evolve these skills. Can you imagine how different the dynamics would be in the organization? This is what I'm talking about. I'm talking about leaders understanding that their success and the success of their organization stems from their people. Therefore, we are there to serve the people, to unleash the power of the people, to bring the people together with love. This is our job as leaders. And this is what where we need to make a big change in the leadership of organizations today.
Do you find many other leaders that can hear you and agree with you and actually act out on what you just said?
If you want to, if you ask me this around the world, I'm sure there would be leadership that would agree with my style across the globe. In this part of the world, not many. But I totally understand. I know what they're dealing with. I know where they're coming from. In fact, at one point in time, I was perceived as weak because I talk about these things. When in fact, that is the real power. Mm. This is the only power that people can't take away from you. You see, Filippo, if you get your power from your position, you have nothing because you can lose your position. But if your power comes from your heart, you will never lose that power. You take it with you everywhere. And that is where the real power resides. But we have, in the business world, we have this notion about emotions being weak. Love is not a word that you use in organizations. And these are just social biases that have been developed over many, many years. It's time to break them.
Mm-hmm. Wow. I hear you now, and I wonder what you were saying to yourself years ago on your way to here, because I have a feeling you knew where you knew somehow that there was a here. I don't know how I know this, but I feel like you knew. And so what were you saying to yourself back then in order to pick yourself up every day in the midst of everything that you were going through and the uncertainty and the language barrier, the cultural barriers and everything that you, the discrimination and everything that you went through?
Do you know, it's funny, when you ask me that, I think of a particular incident when I was a child. When we first moved to Canada, it was not integrating, was not easy because we didn't speak the language, we were different. And we moved to Canada back in the very early 70s. So Canada was, immigration to Canada was quite new. So I also understand that it was hard on the people that that I had to integrate with because... I was foreign to them. And I describe in one part of the book the amount of bullying that went through that year. And so during recess, I knew that I was going to be beat up. And this was my daily routine. And what I thought about was two things. First of all, I always focused that this will pass. This is not permanent. The recess will finish and the beatings will stop when the recess will finish. So this is not permanent. So hold on until this is done. The other thing that always picked me up was my perspective. I looked at things as if they were a test. I don't know if test is the right word to use. For me, it was my test. It was a test of my faith. Will getting beat up drive me to do something that was not me? That was my test. And I always insisted on passing the test because I believe that I am loved by my creator. And it's like loving your mom and dad and you don't want to disappoint them. You want them to know that you're up for it. Those were two things that were really critical in going through every event that was hard that I endured and throughout my life.
Wow. Talking about loving your mom and dad, unfortunately we're coming towards the end of our conversation, but this feels like just the beginning of our conversation. And I have to say that after all that you've shared, and as people will read in the book Untamed, Untamable, I think it's interesting that you came back to use your father's last name, and it's there in big letters on the front cover, as a what to your father and his name.
I am honoring my father. I made sure that my father knew very much before he passed away 2 years ago that he was a driving force of my success, of who I am today, and that all the experiences that I went through because of his way of thinking for me were a privilege, and I loved him for it. And I felt sorry that he was stuck, and I'm sure he must have been feeling pain conforming to all these ideas. But this was really honoring my dad, and it was a healing process for me, where I wanted him to be very, very clear that I loved him, that I don't, and I appreciate everything that he triggered in my life, because it made me who I am today.
Wow. Wow. Untamable. Claim your power, live fearlessly, and become unstoppable is the book we've been discussing with author and so much more, Dr. Nala Kadaj Budyab. And you can get it on Amazon. It's probably the easiest place to do it. Of course, you can also go to our guest's webpage, and that is nalabudiab.com. And I'll spell it NahlaBoudiab.com. And on our page that we've created for her at lifechangeshow.com, we have Facebook and Twitter and Instagram. So you could follow her, learn from her, be inspired by her, and I can almost guarantee there will be more on the Life Changes show about her. I don't know how to thank you, Dr. Nala. What a pleasure, an honor, and a privilege.
Thank you, Filippo. I need to thank you. It's been amazing. Thank you so much for allowing me to share my thoughts and my emotions through your platform, and I hope I get to meet you face-to-face one day.
Yes, I just know it. We all look forward to it here at the Life Changes Show. We've become fans already. So until such time, thank you so much. Wow. And that was our conversation with our first conversation with Dr. Nala Kadaj Budyab. And now we have our Ask Dorothy question.
Dear Dorothy, my name is Josie, and I live in Los Angeles, and I am an actor. However, it has been 2 years since I had a job acting, and I have supported myself delivering food. I have a good friend who sort of adopted me when I moved to Los Angeles, and she is like a mom to me. When I thanked her for being so good to me and helping me during these challenging times, she told me that my deceased mother came to her in a dream and asked her to look after me and to let me know that I have a good future as an actor, and I just need to have patience. My question is, could what my dear friend is telling me possibly be true? Is it possible for someone who has died to give messages to those who are still alive? I so want to believe my friend, and yet it is hard for me to believe that my dear departed mother could appear to my friend and give her such an important message. Do I dare believe that what she tells me is true?
My dear Josie, thank you for this important question. It has been my experience since early childhood that the dearly departed can and do deliver messages to us. However, whether you dare choose to believe your friend is entirely up to you. What I would like to suggest is that you remember that you are the co-creator of your life, and that what you believe creates your reality. If having a good future as an actor is what you want for yourself, then please remember that we are creating our future with our thoughts. I believe it would be a good idea for you to spend some time each day imagining the future you want. Ever since I finally remembered that we are all the divine children of God, and that this means we are the power in our world, I began to change my life for the better. I start off each day thanking God and the universe for supporting me and my dreams of co-creating a happier world for all of us. This sets the tone for my days, and I love my life and live each day experiencing much joy and happiness. I'm visualizing an ending to the present state of world affairs and have attracted many like-minded people to join me in doing the same. So I encourage you to meditate and co-create the future you desire. And I feel it would be good for you to thank your deceased mother for finding such a wonderful messenger who is now helping you in so many ways.
Thank you, Dorothy. And if you have a question for Dorothy, please write her at askdorothy@lifechangesshow.com. And we'll be right back with our musical guest, Nadine, here on the Life Changes Show right after this.
There are self-help seminars costing thousands of dollars guaranteeing miraculous transformations. There are compelling speakers and life-changing weekend experiences where you can walk on fire. They all deliver revelations that guarantee you'll come back for the more expensive revelations filled with even greater wonder next month on Fiji. We get addicted to positive, heartfelt, expensive theater. What we really need is a jumpstart, an awakening. Someone who can give us a reminder that everything we need lies within. Through inspiration and practical knowledge, Dorothy Donahue helps people get grounded and motivated, inspired and energized. It's not just words and affirmations and the power of intention. It's a mindset brought about by a tangible, transcendental experience, an audio-visual, physical, spiritual experience that helps us realize we transform ourselves. We get tools to become the conscious co-creators of lives of unlimited potential. Find out more. Go to DorothyDonahue.com.
The Life Changes Show is a premier radio show presented by the Life Changes Network, which is a company whose team has dedicated their lives not only to positive change, but to helping others observe and embrace, honor, and even celebrate their own changes, thus enabling a more positive, inspired life and helping to create a more positive and inspired world. From everyday people, celebrities, corporate giants, and children, we are here to help and to serve. With heart, integrity, and experience, we bring our message and positive intent into your lives through the Life Changes Show, LifeChangesNetwork.com, and through guest appearances on other inspiring shows and events. If you wish to learn more about Life Changes Life Coaching, a private consultation with one of us, corporate or live event appearances, or if you would like us to appear on your radio or TV shows, please email us at info@lifechangesnetwork.com.
We're back. I am Filippo. This is the Life Changes Show, indeed, because I know my life has changed, and I'm looking forward to it to change some more as we introduce our musical guest, Indigenous experimental music, our multi-instrumentalist, Nadine. Welcome to the show.
Hello. Hi. Thank you. It's great to be here.
It's good to have you here, and we want to thank, giving Michelle Pascal a shout-out for introducing us.
That's
so I was fascinated by the fact that you come to the music that you're doing from so many different angles, so to speak. Of course, you're multi-talented, so multi-instrumentalist. But your culture, from your parents' culture, your from your dad, your mother, where you were born, where you're living now, could you share a little bit of how all that has shaped you?
Oh boy. Okay. yes, I was born in Aotearoa, which is New Zealand, and my father is of Maori descent, so Indigenous Pacific Islander. And my mother is of Irish Catholic descent, so I'm sort of a combination of both of them. And I grew up in New Zealand until I was seven, and then we moved to Queensland in Australia, and I grew up on the Gold Coast there I moved to Sydney after I studied and lived there for about 20 years, and then I moved to LA about 12 years ago now, I think. Yeah, so moved around a little.
and musically, you've moved around a little too.
Uh-huh, that's correct. I started in elementary school playing the viola, and I still play the viola, but my direction has changed. I teach children to play mostly in a classical sense, but I, as a musician now, I tend to play more experimental jazz. And after studying classical music seriously for many years, I decided that I wanted to be a jazz singer, and I pursued that from the age of probably 21, and then so the combination, I think, of that, and then when I did a master's degree, it was in world music and improvisation. So there are many different cultures that improvise as part of their music, and so I studied different kinds of improvisation within different cultural contexts, and how to apply that to my own music. So, yeah.
You know, speaking of world music, we were chatting, and I said something about not really knowing too much about the Maori culture, except the chant that I've heard men do. And then you did one, and I was riveted. And then you said you'd do it for us on the show. And this is special because it comes from your culture, from your father's heritage. What is this chant that you're going to do for us mean, and what does it mean to you?
I do this chant as part of a song that I wrote called Revolution, and it's about inner transformation, really, and that how that can affect our outer world and what happens, how we behave. And, in this chant, the words are talking about water flowing and the, being able to be flexible in that way that I keep thinking of. There's a famous saying that I think it was Jackie Chan said about be like water.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that it's similar in this chant, is to think about the flow of water, but also the force of the current, and asking for change, talking to your ancestors basically, and
does it have a title?
Revolution is the name of the song that it's
Okay, well, we're going to get to hear it now. Is this a cappella, or have you added other instrumentation to it?
This is a cappella.
Oh, cool. Okay. Well, here is Nadine performing, or chanting Revolution, live on the Life Changes Show at Home Edition.
Get right at the way.
Team. That's so powerful. I had this vision, you know, I it's interesting because we talked a little bit about on the show when women sometimes feel like they have to lead like men since men have led for so long in a certain way. And we were talking about with Dr. Nala how women leading from a place that women can lead more naturally and easier from than men have known to. So as you were doing this, I did remember that I have seen some women do that Maori chant that was traditionally done by men. And I thought maybe Nadine could teach this to so many women and get it on YouTube so women across the nation don't have to do the men's one. They could do the one that has the woman power or the flow like water.
Yes, I mean, this is definitely something that you can, that other people can learn. But the haka, I think you're talking about the haka.
Yes, yes, yes. Uh-huh.
That's a war dance that is also ceremonial, so it is done as a welcomer as well, and many occasions it's done. So it's actually men and women do that.
Oh, okay.
Yes. Well,
I didn't know. Okay.
So if there is an attack, for example, and the haka is required to engage an enemy, then women stand and fight behind the men. So they do the haka with the men.
Wow. Wow, I didn't know that. Well, I still like the idea of having this other chant and more of them. I just feel like it's something that we could use in our culture as well. Why not? And learn more about the Maoris and the tradition. So thank you for sharing that with us. I want to give your website out. So Nadine Pita, NadenePita.com. Of course, she's on Facebook and Bandcamp and all over YouTube. On Facebook, it's an Indigenous Performance Artist. And so actually, we're going to get to hear a little bit of that performance artist. Of course, a performance artist is actually also very physical. And I know, Nadine, you use instruments that are visual. So can't wait to be able to see that. And in the meantime, we're hearing you. So what do we get to hear next?
This is a song called Tango that I wrote. It's about it's a kind of a surrealist song, I like to think. And I love the melody. It's inspired by Piazzolla, of course.
And what instrumentation are you adding to this? Are you playing the viola?
I am. I'm going to play the viola, and I'm going to go through a looper, and I'm also going to sing the melody, and I'll play a bit of viola as well.
Yeah. Exciting. Okay. Well, what did you say the name was?
Tango.
Oh, Tango. Oh, okay.
Tango. Yes.
Okay. All right. Well, here is Nadine performing her song Tango live on the Life Changes Show.
Washing dishes, the bleakest.
and powerful and raw and so tango. That's the spirit of the tango. Thank you, Nadine.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Wow, how fun. Again, Nadine Pita, NadenePita.com is the website. You can find her on Facebook at Indigenous Performance Artist. And Nadine, I know you're in Los Angeles. I look forward to meeting you in person and getting to see your performance art live. That's how we like to see it.
Yes, oh, I can't wait to do that for you.
Yes, I can just tell how you connect with your audience and just give them all of that. So thank you so much for being part of today's show.
Thank you.
What a pleasure. So again, thank you to Nadine, and thank you to our guest, Dr. Nala Kadaj Budyab. And with that, that is our show. On behalf of our executive producer, Dorothy Lee Donahue, and our producer and co-host, Mark Legere, I am your host, Filippo Voltaggio, reminding you that as your life changes, like ours surely did tonight, we're here for you. Ciao, everyone.
You have been listening to the Life Changes Show on the BBS Radio Network. Listen live every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Time and visit us online at lifechangesnetwork.com, on Facebook at The Life Changes Show, and on Twitter at Life Changes Show. Join us again next week as we consciously explore and embrace the only constant, life changes. The Life Changes Network is an entertainment network. The views and opinions expressed are those of the guests and participants and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Life Changes.